All right, guys, we're back again with another episode of the Sports and Whatnot podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the construct that is the NBA and its All-Star game. And then we're going to move on and talk about the AFC and the NFC championship games this past weekend. And we're going to break those down for you. I hope you stick around, Liz. It's going to be a great show. We've got a lot of good stuff to tell you today. So the first thing that you need to know when talking about the NBA is that there's always a bottom line. The NBA is a money-making league driven with the sole purpose of making money. The product is made in a manner in which it wants to sell itself to the viewer. You know, it's a TV product league. That at the end of the day, that's all it is. And so is the nature of the NBA. So is the nature of the All-Star game. You know, you look at the All-Star game, and a lot of times it's talked with a sort of reverence that is kind of bizarre when you think about it, because when you talk about the greatness of players, a lot of times you mention their All-Star selections, and that, you know, that can be fair because, you know, players, coaches, they do have a say in who makes these All-Star rosters. But ultimately, the more important and impressive accomplishment comes at the end of the season when you see their entire body of work, and that is when they are awarded with first, second, and third All-NBA teams. And the All-Star game is really just a mid-season cash grab, to be honest. And so it would make sense that the All-Star game be as marketable and for the fans as possible. And really, you can throw out all the who deserves this and who deserves what talk is irrelevant, because that's not really what the All-Star game should be about. If you want to get into talking about who is the most important, who's the best, and who deserves this, then save that for the end of the season when we've seen everybody play. I get that the All-Star game is about sort of honoring who has been popping off early season, but, you know, it's for the fans. Therefore, the fans should be dictating what they are seeing. They should be telling the NBA what they want to see as a product. And there's been a lot of concern and questioning about, should there be a fan vote? Should they get rid of it altogether because the consensus best players in the league aren't leading fan vote? No, that doesn't matter. That's obviously not what the fans are voting for. The fans want to see their players that they pick in the game. So you should let them see those players in the game. And, you know, Derrick Rose is high up there in the All-Star votes from the fans. And it's not like Derrick Rose hasn't had merit this season. He's been by far, the most important player on that Timberwolves team. I know, obviously, Cat is a terrific young player, but I think Derrick Rose has been by far the more consistent and valuable force in terms of winning games. They're struggling to keep their head above water as it is. They'll need a run in the second half to secure a playoff spot. But without him, I don't know what they would be. And, you know, he's put up good numbers, good enough. Maybe not better than some of the other All-Stars. I'm not sitting here telling you that Derrick Rose, rather, is necessarily among the game's elite, but he has played well enough, I think, to play in an All-Star game, especially if that's what the fans are voting and they want to see. He wouldn't be out of place. He does what he always has. He's scoring the basketball, and he's scoring it well. And I don't see any reason why he couldn't do that in an All-Star game. And the knock on him is, well, you're gonna put Derrick Rose in the game and take it away from someone else deserving. And to that I say, you know, if they're really that deserving, then they'll show up again at the end of the season with these All-NBA teams, because the likelihood of Derrick Rose, whether he be a starter or a reserve or whatever he may be, he'll be knocking someone out. But who's he going to knock out of the game? You know, is he going to knock out Mike Conley? Not necessarily the most exciting guy to watch play. His game is nice. It is a joy to watch basketball-wise, but he doesn't necessarily pull a bunch of fans in. Is he going to take out Luka Doncic? Luka Doncic is a rookie. Trust me, he's going to be around for a while. He's going to get some of these All-Star games under his belt. Drew Holiday, again, like Mike Conley, probably deserving, but, you know, who is paying to watch that game? Who would rather see Mike Conley and Drew Holiday come in for spare minutes during an All-Star game as opposed to seeing Derrick Rose score points and kind of complete this story narrative of this comeback season that Derrick Rose has been in this season? You know, like I said, it's a fan-driven thing. The fans want to see Derrick Rose. They should see Derrick Rose. And then I know Dwayne Wade was also high up there. I think at that point, that's kind of a stretch. I know you're saying if we open the gate for Derrick Rose and the floodgates pour open, we can just vote anyone we want in there. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying within reason, Derrick Rose does have a case to be an All-Star, and he's close enough to jump the gap because so many people want to see him in the game. Now, Dwayne Wade, he's had a fine season helping that Heat team out, trying to get them to the playoffs. You know, nowhere near All-Star level or what Dwayne Wade has been in the past, but he's still a crafty veteran. He makes plays from time to time. No, he's obviously dwindled in athleticism and not really close enough to make an argument for the All-Star game. But the NBA All-Star game is the equivalent to the NFL's Pro Bowl. And the Pro Bowl, in the NFL and the Pro Bowl, they try to spice that up for the fans and make it something they want to see, you know. And the thing with Dwayne Wade that I think that the NBA can take from the NFL's playbook here is kind of like that last year when Jeff Saturday was retiring. He and Peyton Manning were in the Pro Bowl together, and Jeff Saturday switched teams so he could hike the ball to Peyton Manning one last time, you know, because it's a meaningless game. So by the same token, why not let Dwayne Wade come into the game for a couple possessions, throw a lob to LeBron for old time's sake, score a mid-range jump shot off the glass, you know, do Dwayne Wade things, something that people will pay to watch. And that's sort of the product that you want to sell. This doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all of awards. The All-Star game doesn't. That's what the All-NBA selections are for. And I think at this point, the NBA should try their best to market this to fans how the fans want to see it. Switching gears, heading over to the NFL. In the NFC Championship game this past weekend, there was obviously a lot of controversy there at the end with the blatant pass interference call. There's no other way to put that. Yes, the refs were totally off on that. There should be some sort of repercussion for that. I don't know why there's not. There should obviously be some sort of system in play that plays should be reviewed to determine if there should be a flag on the play or not, or if you can pick up the flag. There should be more rules or standards or guidelines set in place to prevent what we saw on Sunday, because no one wants to see a game like that that is going to have an asterisk by it in the view of many fans across the nation, probably most. Obviously, it just hurts the game. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and be that guy and tell you that the Saints lost that game, and it wasn't because of the referees. they straight up lost the game. Drew Brees made that deep throw to Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn made a great catch to pull it down there. And then they, quite honestly, pissed away two plays in a row there. Terrible play call. It just wasn't the right thing to do with the pass in the dirt and then the run. They screwed themselves over, quite honestly. They didn't deserve to be bailed out. Obviously, I know it was a pass interference, but they should have made the play. They should have got the first down the two plays before that. They were rolling, and then they killed themselves. They shot themselves in the foot with bad play calling. They just did. That wasn't the main factor in the Saints' loss. Jared Goff was the best quarterback who played over the weekend. He outdueled Drew Brees, especially when it mattered down the stretch. He made all the throws, didn't miss any of the throws he was supposed to make. He made the plays he had to make, and there was questions about him being the least experienced quarterback of the bunch coming into Sunday, if he could hold up in a big-time championship game. And he played better than all of them. He played better than Brees by a little bit. He played better than Brady. He certainly, in my eyes, played better than Mahomes. So the Saints just, it sucks. It sucks that they could have scored a touchdown there and potentially iced the game, but it's their own fault that they didn't. They got in their ways before the refs even had an opportunity to do that. There should be something that happens from this. The NFL should learn from this mistake and move forward by setting in place proper guidelines to prevent that. But still, you can't just write this off and say the Saints deserved to win this game because they didn't. They just didn't. Over in the AFC, Tom Brady and the Patriots made yet another AFC Championship game appearance, and they are headed to yet another Super Bowl. And at this point, look, I get it. I understand why people hate them so much. That's the same in any sport when one team has so much run of dominance that it is just frustrating to watch because other teams struggle to get the opportunities with them in the way, and I understand that, but I think you have to marvel at the longevity of this run that the Patriots have been on. It's insane how long they've been successful and productive and how well they are just able to replicate their success year after year after year. And let me just go ahead and give you a heads up, they are in great shape to be a much better team next season. I've thought this going into the playoffs. If someone's going to beat the Patriots, they need to do it right now before they load up on draft picks, have money to spend in free agency. They have both of those things coming up this summer. And then, of course, their competition within their division is just going to be terrible. The Jets, with Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, they might be interesting. I don't think they're necessarily going to be one of those big shocker teams. Miami's not a team that's going to be around to compete yet. As we know, they are probably looking towards the future at this point. And then Buffalo is a long ways off. So they are set up to continue this run of dominance. And the thing with them is, A lot of people here on social media and in the media have been just saying how lucky Tom Brady is, how lucky the Patriots were to win this game. And I know Rob Parker on FS1 analyst, he always calls Tom Brady the luckiest of all time, not the greatest of all time, the luckiest. And I ask you this, do you not realize that being lucky is not the scathing remark that you think it is? Luck is required in everything. Luck is required to have success, period. In life, in football, in basketball, anything, everything requires luck. There's thousands of little details that go into everyday operations that determine the outcomes of things that we enjoy. And we need luck for all of these things. You know, Tom Brady, was he lucky that Dee Ford was offsides on that overthrow of Gronk? Of course he was lucky. Was he lucky that the MVP of the league didn't get to touch the ball in overtime? Yeah, but same token, the Kansas City defense should have been able to stop one touchdown drive. I understand it's Tom Brady, but that's the way the game goes. That's just how it is, and you got to be better than that. And look, I understand the frustration. I grew up a Kansas City Chiefs fan. My family was originally from the area, so we all had roots rooting for the Chiefs. Now, I don't really have a particular team that I root for. I don't really feel like the Chiefs era of football that I rooted for coming up, that's not really this era of football, but I still like the Chiefs from a distance. And Patrick Mahomes is a special player, but he did not play his best football at all on Sunday. And I think a lot of it came from, I don't necessarily think he was overwhelmed with the situation. He did end up pulling it together in the second half and making a run at this thing, but coming out in the first half, it looked like he didn't really know what to do with the football, because the Patriots, like I told you before, they are one of the most, they are always going to be the most, or one of the most prepared teams going into any game ever. And they were again here last week, or over the weekend rather, with their defense's ability to step up and take away his weapons. They were going to let Patrick Mahomes have Sammy Watkins, but they're going to take away Tyreek Hill and limit Travis Kelce, and they did just that. And Patrick Mahomes looked a little flummoxed by the Patriots defense, and the defense, you know, Belichick has that team ready to step up and do their job when necessary, and they were called upon. They delivered in a big way. You know, Mahomes, like, his efficiency wasn't there. He wasn't necessarily making the throws he always makes. He could have been a lot better. For all the knocks on Chiefs defense, the Chiefs defense did what they had to do. I know, obviously, Bob Sutton was fired today. No one was expecting this defense to go in there and shut Tom Brady out in his house, but they kept him around. They got a goal line interception in the first half. They kept him around, kept it a two-possession game, gave the offense a chance to do something. I think late in the game, they were definitely affected by being on the field so much at the beginning of the game. And I think some of those mental errors, like Dee Ford's offsides penalty, can be attributed to that just from fatigue. So it goes all the way around there. The Chiefs defense is designed to have players to step up and make plays, not necessarily be a great whole defense, but have individual players who can step up and make the plays. And they did an all right job of that all night. Eric Berry matched up against Gronk. He did a pretty decent job. Gronk is just a ginormous human being, and he gives anyone fits. I think Chris Jones had a disruptive enough night where they should have done a little bit better than they did. And then Fuller on the outside, he was mostly good. I think he had a few different lapses, but nothing real big. Daniel Sorensen was the star of the night on that defense. You'd like to have seen more from Justin Houston, obviously, but the defense for the most part got around and did enough to allow their offense to figure it out and get things going, and they, quite frankly, they just didn't do enough. I ask you, where was Tyreek Hill? I mean, obviously the Patriots wanted to take him away, and they took away all that lateral movement that we see from Tyreek Hill that makes him such a weapon, running sideline to sideline and then beating you deep. They took away his sideline to sideline ability there, and they kind of hogtied him. He had one catch for 42 yards. I understand that Belichick stepped up and stopped you, but you've got to contribute more than that. Above all else, the number one reason why the Patriots are headed to the Super Bowl and the Chiefs are packing their bags and going back home is because of the Kansas City Chiefs offense. They knew what they were getting into. It was Tom Brady in Foxborough, AFC Championship game, trip to the Super Bowl on the line. You know they're going to be prepared. You know Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they will have something up their sleeve. They will be prepared to stop you. They are going to be on top of their game no matter. Tom Brady will be ready to go no matter who he has around him, no matter what the storylines are, no matter if people think he has a lack of weapons or whatever the case may be. Tom Brady will be ready to go, and you have to bring your A-plus game. You have to not only play the best football you've played, you have to play better than your best football. The Chiefs have been touted as this unstoppable force on offense all season long, and you have to show up and prove that, and you have to go a step beyond that and be even better, because you know they're going to be ready to stop you at home. They're going to take away what you want to do, and you have to find other things and ways to build on what you've been doing already to beat the Patriots. That's the key to beating them. And they didn't do that. They came out flat, and ultimately they couldn't ever quite pull themselves back ahead. So that is why Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to play in another Super Bowl and likely be the heavy favorites to win it all yet again. Alright guys, so that was another episode of Sports and Whatnot. I really enjoyed talking to you about my view on all these things today. I hope you guys enjoyed listening, even if you don't necessarily agree. I hope you stick around and listen to future episodes of the show, and just know I appreciate each and every one of y'all.